Hello, happy site owners and webmasters, and welcome to the Blog 8 Tips Susie podcast for October 31st, 2017. And I'm your host, Mayanna. Tips this week include why there's new music on Tips Tuesday, more of what I'm finding after HTTPS checks, and the big thing missing from them all, why I decided to use Buffer instead of CoSchedule for now, wrapping up the comment reply notification plugin test, an update on my new WP Rocket plugin test, WordPress 4.9 Beta 4 released and what's not in it, thankfully, confirmation on whether TinyMC Advanced will work with Gutenberg, results of 40 end users trying out Gutenberg, and it's a case study from Yoast, why you need to add your 2 cents on the new WordPress survey, what's in PHP 7.2 release coming out soon, why the new EU plugin standard will be of interest to those who run ads, the Postman SMTP plugin is now under new management, how to get your site ready for Google's mobile first index, a new single opt-in default at MailChimp, my results with the new Sonar testing tool from Microsoft, why you get radically different results with different online testers, and the retirement of the Firefox Firebug. So let's dive in. Boo, y'all! Happy Halloween to all of my U.S. peeps who celebrate. And I hope you'll join me live on the Blog 8 Facebook page sometime today or tomorrow, or catch the replay of the Tips Tuesday recap on the Blog 8 YouTube channel. Now, I'm scheduled to do an HTTPS conversion today, and tonight I'll be scaring my little trick-or-treaters for Halloween. So I'm not sure when I'll be able to do the live recap. If I can do it this afternoon, I will. If not, then Wednesday afternoon for sure. I'll post on Facebook and Twitter when I know. And y'all may have noticed that I changed up the intro music on Tips Tuesday. The software I've been using to produce the final podcast version is super duper old, and it finally bit the dust. The new software has different music, so I thought I'd give it a try. Let me know what you think. If you don't like it, I may grab a copy of the old one and or try something else. I just wanted to mix things up a bit. New can be fun sometimes. Oh, and I want to give you an update on the HTTPS conversion redos and site audits. You know, since I opened up the after HTTPS check service, a whole bunch of site owners signed up for it. Now, after they saw all that was missing, many of them decided to have that free HTTPS switcheroo trickery undone and get a real HTTPS conversion. And to my surprise, many of those decided to also get full site audits and put their whole site on a better foundation for speed and security, which are tied hand in hand together now. And everyone who has had their site checked in either service is running a lot faster now too, due to several speed changes we made rather quickly. Now, the new Chrome warning hasn't gone into full effect yet, so there's still time to get your site checked and fixed, even if you choose to stay with the freebie HTTPS way. But I want to tell you about the big thing missing with that freebie way. I've worked with several clients now that have received a pretty good conversion from their host, but the one thing they and users of the really simple SSL plugin are missing is the proper settings for the HSTS security header. Now, on several occasions, we've seen that the header was added, but it does not have all of the settings needed to qualify for the Chrome Safe Site preload list. You'll see that when you try to submit your site. Now, it will be required by Chrome in the future. So if you're not sure how your HTTPS configuration is set up, come get a check. Takes about 30 minutes and it's all live. Now, you may recall a couple of Tips Tuesdays ago that I linked to some nice tips for repurposing your content. You know, I've not been doing as well with that this year as I needed to. So I checked out CoSchedule. It's a super duper service, but it also slows down site performance. Now, at the prompting of webmaster Larry Snow, I decided to give Buffer a try. I'm liking the free version just fine for now. Thanks so much for the suggestion, Larry. Now, I still like Hootsuite for reading Twitter and the organization of tabs it provides, but I'm liking Buffer better for scheduling. So I'm going to give it a run for a few more weeks and see if I want to move up to the paid version. Now, I also thought it might be nice to mix in snippets of some of my YouTube videos, but selecting a start time in the middle of a longer video doesn't seem to work well when sharing on social media, just on embeds. So I may start making my own clips and uploading them directly to the social media platforms. That's a bit more of a pain than just sharing a YouTube link. But for snippets from each week's Tips Tuesday Live Recap, it may be worth it. We'll see. And thanks to webmaster Michelle Phillips of Covetti for helping with all the settings on the WP Discuss plugin. That's one of the comment reply notification plugins that we did a redo on. Now, we had a much more successful test of it in this redo. We also found a couple of bugs and or feature improvements that we'll be contacting the dev about too. Now, we wrapped up all the tests yesterday, and I want to send a huge thank you to the 20 plus folks who volunteered to help. Y'all rock. Now, I'm finishing up with my evaluation and comparison post this week on all of the plugins we tested. So look for that post soon. And I'll be doing an in-depth review and tutorial post on the top plugins. I believe there will be three good ones for you to choose from, depending on your needs. And this past weekend, I started my test of the WP Rocket plugin. They had a major overhaul to it earlier this year, so I wanted to run fresh tests. The new interface is super nice, but the performance is about the same as it was in my head-to-head caching test about this time last year. So I still stand behind those recommendations for now. I've got a few more tests to run on special settings, though, so I'll finish those up before making new tutorials for Webmaster Level 4. And they have a few new features coming out soon that I want to check out, too. And now that I'm just about caught up with all the tests I planned to do by this time of year, but had to postpone due to the HTTPS frenzy, I'm switching gears to focus on the revamp of the DIY SEO course and SEO workshop, plus other new mini courses. Now, I plan to have the first of those launches in a couple of weeks, and they will continue through the spring. BlogAid News subscribers will be the first to know about them, so make sure you're on that list and that you open the emails. All right, y'all, that's all the news from around here. Let's jump into this week's tips in WordPress tips. The WordPress 4.9 Beta 4 has been released, and a whopping 80 changes were made in this release. Now, we're roughly 2 weeks out from the public release, so I'm betting they're close to having a release candidate soon. That means they stop making all tweaks and just focus on bug fixes. You may want to get a sneak peek at the new image widgets that are coming too. They are sweet, and I am so relieved to hear this. You may remember last week that I had a conniption fit over WordPress threatening to put a notice at the top of the admin page in WordPress 4.9 to give the new Gutenberg text editor a try. No, no, no. It's still under development, and it's nowhere near ready to be put on a live site. And thanks to webmaster Larry Snow for alerting me to a WP Tavern article stating that WordPress heard the community outcry over this and decided not to include the header or invite. But they also remarked that it may be in WordPress 4.9.1. No! Oh, and I'm also beyond relieved to get confirmation that the TinyMC Advanced plugin will indeed work with Gutenberg. We'll be able to use it in the standard text box. And thank you to webmaster Marcy Diaz of Amethyst Web Design for this pleasant heads up. Now, the nice folks at Team Yoast set up a testing environment to get feedback from 40 end users of diverse site ownership backgrounds on the new Gutenberg text editor. And it's well worth reading the feedback for yourself, but pretty much confirms that this thing is not ready for prime time yet. I hope the WordPress devs listen. And I want to thank Yoast for his active involvement in trying to help us cross this bridge into WordPress's future. Now, here's where you can put in your two cents. It's time for the annual WordPress user and developer survey. It only takes 5 minutes to complete, and it's so radically important for the WordPress devs to hear from end users like me and you. Else, They only hear from other devs. And let me tell you, those devs paint a very different perspective about what should and should not be in WordPress. So please take a moment to complete the survey. Your voice matters more than you know. I got to ask you, have you updated to PHP 7 yet? If not, you really need to. WordPress has updated their minimum standards to require PHP 7. And you can see my post on why and how to do your own update. Now, I found PHP 7.1 to be too unstable to recommend widely. And soon, PHP 7.2 will be out, as noted in a post from Torque that I've got linked for you. It's a minor release, so no need to jump right on it when it launches. Just so you're on 7.0, that will be good enough for now. Just don't keep putting this update off, else your plugins will start to break as they increase their minimum version requirements too. The bottom will now be version 5.6. In plugin tips, bloggers who run ads, heads up. If you thought that EU cookie law thing was a pain, wait until you see what they're cooking up now. They're creating a standard for all plugins that collect data of any kind, the EU General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, will go into effect May 28th, 2018. Now, this GDPR-related site that I've got linked for you is creating a way for plugin developers to validate their plugins to ensure that they're in compliance with the new law. It hasn't launched yet, but you can get on the email list for when it does. Now, here's the skinny on the plugin compliance, and I'm quoting, GDPR states that if a website collects, stores, or uses any data related to an EU citizen, you must comply with the following. Tell the user who you are, why you collect the data, for how long, and who receives it. Get a clear consent before collecting any data. Let users access their data and take it with them, and let users know if a data breach occurs. Now, guys, please let me know if your ad network is addressing this new set of conditions. In fact, you may want to check with them to see if they've even heard about it. Some of those ad networks are more on the ball than others. And the popular Postman SMTP plugin was removed from the WordPress repository a few weeks ago due to a major XSS or cross-site scripting security issue. Now, this is the most common of all vulnerabilities, and it's hit multiple popular plugins and even WordPress, sometimes more than once, as code changes and hackers find new holes. Now, the plugin has been taken over, or rather forked, by new dev and longtime user of the plugin. And he's created a new version of it and fixed the security issues. Look for it in the WordPress plugin repository under the new name of Post SMTP Mailer / Email Log. And you can find more details on the WP Tavern post linked above. I want to thank Webmaster Michelle Phillips of CodeFetti for the heads up on this change. In SEO tips, Google's Mobile First initiative is already doing a soft rollout. And I've got a guide link for you from Crazy Egg to help ensure your site is ready. Now, do everything on it except for the AMP part at the top. My clients who've tried AMP say they wish they had never done it. And I don't think I would try the PWA replacement for AMP either. But everything else in this guide is spot on. In marketing tips, big news! Single opt-in will now be the default at MailChimp. Woohoo! Here's what they say. Starting October 31st, that's today, single opt-in will become the default setting for all MailChimp hosted, embedded, and pop-up sign-up forms. This change will impact all MailChimp users. So here's everything you need to know. All MailChimp sign-up forms, including all of your existing forms, will shift from double opt-in to single opt-in. This change will occur automatically. You don't need to make any manual adjustments within your account. The overall sign-up process will change too. When single opt-in is enabled, the opt-in confirmation emails and the sign-up thank you page will not be sent or displayed. Now, if you wish to keep your existing forms as double opt-in, You will need to set your preferences in the link that I have for you here in the post before October 31st. That's today. Moving forward, you'll have the option to enable double opt-in within your account's list settings. In Webmaster Tips, Microsoft has launched a new site performance and security tester called Sonar. Wow, what a complete waste of time this thing is. It took 2 hours to run the scan, and results were a bunch of bogus BS stuff. An example, one of the global security headers was not needed for 39 specific links that are scattered all over the site. Another is having a protocol relative link for social media platforms that's not okay. Really? Jeez. And I've been seeing a lot of questions about the difference in online testers. Have you ever wondered why your speed scores are so different between GT Metrics, PageSpeed Insights, Pingdom, and Webpage Test? Well, there's a post from GT Metrics that does an admirable job of explaining it. Now, in my mind, one of the reasons I don't trust Pingdom is what this article points out about when the test is complete. For Pingdom, it's on load time only. Now, my workhorse tester, Webpage Test, shows on load and fully loaded and so much more. Now, many folks use Pingdom and think that they have no issues because the load time is faster there than on any of the other testers. And now you know why. You're not getting the full story. Where you test from matters too. GT Metrics defaults to Vancouver, Canada. Huh? You have to create an account and log in to use the Dallas location. Webpage Test has more locations than any of them, and you can choose location, browser, and screen size all at the same time and without logging in. Now, the dev who built Webpage Test has been working for Google for the past couple of years, and lots of new tests are popping up that are super helpful. Just one more reason I rely heavily on it. Webmasters, look for new videos on how to run the different testers, as several of them have changed their interfaces since I made the last set of videos. And site owners, look for new tutorials on how to run image optimization tests and such too. Oh, Firefox has announced end of life on the Firebug dev tool. I'm sorry to see it go, as I used it a lot back when I was still designing sites, but these days I rely more heavily on Chrome DevTools. How about you? Did you use the Firebug or something else? Let us know in the comments or anywhere you see this post online. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. If you find these helpful, please do share them with your peeps. And be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.